gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin. I'm delighted to be joined by three-time wrestling author Oliver Newman. How are you doing, Stephen and Oliver?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, thanks, Chris. How are you?
I'm very good. Very good. Still not 100% over my throat infection, so if I cough, I'll try and cut them out, but I don't always catch them all. So,
unlike Pokemon. yeah, take one for the team there, but we appreciate it because when it comes to hosting the show, there's no doubt that you're the best.
Oh, thank you. do you want to give your books a quick plug before we start, properly?
Yeah, can do. I just want to, at this moment, Tom, just talk about the synopsis of each book, really. Mm. My debut book was on British wrestling, so it's called A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. And in the early years of the new millennium, three men led the charge in British wrestling: the Wonder Kid Johnny Storm, the anarchist Doug Williams, and the Phoenix George Fleisch. This book is the story of my first hearing about British wrestling being talked about on British radio via TalkSport in 2001, all the way through to the first few months 2007 of my almost two-year quest to prove British wrestling was as good as its counterparts in the United States, Japan, Mexico, and beyond. My second book is Fans Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE. And the synopsis for this is, 2016 was a truly great year to be a fan of World Wrestling Entertainment. Join me as I take you on a journey through every pay-per-view, Raw and SmackDown Live, NXT TakeOver, and WWE Network Special. Read my alternative WrestleMania 32 booking, plus my thoughts and insights on all of 2016's major matches, segments, storylines, and major news stories throughout this historical and groundbreaking time. And my latest book, A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. 2008 was a historical year in professional wrestling. Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels contested one of, if not the best, pro wrestling feud of all time. I continued writing and reporting on the UK scene. My lifelong dream attending a WrestleMania, WrestleMania 24 Live, came true, and I met my childhood hero, Bret the Hitman Hart. 2008 is the year WWE could have catapulted Paul London to the main event. They didn't, so I fantasy booked him there. 2008 also had some great matches. I share my thoughts on some of the best. Lastly, 2008 was a big year in terms of the women's wrestling evolution we are now living through in, at the time, 2018. I explain how we got here. And as a special bonus, I share my thoughts on the beginning of 2009. And later in the show, I'll tell you exactly how you're able to get a copy of each of those books.
Oh, brilliant. Should we do a quick plug for interviews we've got coming up in the next couple of weeks? We've got Cameron Solis, who I'm guessing you've listened to his interview because he was the most listened to interview we've had so far. Over 1,300 listens, so thank you for that.
So far behind on interviews, Chris, I haven't actually.
But yeah, he was so fun to talk to. I can't wait to talk to him again. Then we've got Drill coming back on. Last time we talked about his career as a wrestler. Now he's been a promoter for a year, so he's just coming on to update him of his first year as a promoter. And then we've
got... the Drill's interview.
Drill's got a great interview.
Listen to that one.
I was scared of the Americans because I understand them, but they seem to be okay. And then we've got Impact Wrestling ring announcer, backstage interviewer, Alicia Alto, is coming on. We're interviewing on the 19th, so it'll probably be that Friday we'll release it. So that's going to be really exciting.
So. It's fantastic because it just shows what the podcast is doing. It's making waves, isn't it, really, to get this kind of get these kind of guests on, and especially when it's in the beginning, it was us kind of contacting them, and it's kind of swinging, isn't it? So, obviously, we still contact people for interviews, but a lot of people are coming our way as well, which is fantastic news. It's really great for BBGW Pod.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to all three of them. We've got plenty of others in the pipelines, but I haven't got dates for them yet. So as they come up, I'll announce them. So we also have a partnership with Powerslam.tv, where you can get a month's free subscription to over 110 promotions, over 4,000 hours of wrestling action by using the promo code BROKEN3. So,
my recommendation for that would be CZW Best of the Best 2.
Yeah.
Where you get to see friend of the show, the Phoenix Jody Fleisch, and the Wonder Kid Johnny Storm wrestle. The match is superb, and the tournament itself is basically anyone on the indies in 2002 that you've ever heard of is probably in that tournament.
Yeah, I've started watching North Wrestling. I can't remember what the show's called. It's Monsters and Creepers or something. I can't remember what it's called. It's on my head, but it's a brilliant show so far. So, all right, so shall we start with a discussion about Worlds Collide tournaments? So, the show opened with Jordan Devlin winning a battle royal to determine the seedings for the tournament and earned a bye to the second round. What were your thoughts on a battle royal to determine the seedings for a tournament?
I thought it was fantastic the way they did it in terms of the eliminations. That's how the matches came to be. Mm. That was really smart. I thought that was really good. I wasn't sure about Jordan Devlin winning it when you've got Dijak, Avic, and Keith Lee.
I'm just going to call him Dijak. I can't say his new name.
Well, I think I nailed it that time, and I'm usually the one who can't say wrestler's name, so I'll have one in the win column for that one, Chris. Yeah, I thought he might win it, or Keith Lee. The fact that the Battle Royal was shown after the YouTube show
is a bit
really annoying. The fact that Zach Gibson against Humberto Carrillo,
I think,
I've got that correct. The fact that that was on the network when it should have been on YouTube because it was a first round match was really annoying.
Yeah, the network special seemed to have like a featured match from each round and then the semifinals and the finals. But it didn't seem to explain like that on a YouTube chat show. You're just like, they're missing matches out here.
Yeah, I said this to you off there. I was like, well, how did Humberto Carrillo get through to... He went against Jordan Devlin, didn't he, I think? In the quarters.
Velveteen Dream.
Oh, Velveteen Dream. Yeah, I says to you, I says, well, where's this come from? And then you said, well, he took on Zach Gibson, and it was on the network.
Yeah.
And then, because I watched the YouTube before the network, and I was like, well, this is just really bad placement, because this has been like a good tournament up until now. So I watched the whole YouTube show for it, and the matches were all of a really good standard, but missing out Zach Gibson versus Humberto Carrillo really messed up the tournament, and not putting the Battle Royal on the YouTube show messed up that as well, because they kept on talking about Jordan Devlin going through and winning the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
So what they should have done was the Battle Royal should have been on first, then they should have put the matches through up until the 2 hour mark, and then I'm absolutely fine if they put the last match onto the network, and then, you know, and then they put on the what would it be? We had the quarterfinal, so the last quarterfinal, that's fine to be on the network, and then the semi-finals, and then the final.
Yeah,
that would have worked the treat. I'm absolutely fine with that. And
they
used it off there to put it all together as a network special, which also would have worked.
They could have cut it down to 3 hours.
Exactly. And you look at it and you're like, the matches are obviously of a good quality. So as long as you don't mind spoilers during the YouTube showing and the network showing, then I think you'll really enjoy the tournament for what it was.
Yeah,
and match quality wise, I can't say anything bad about it. It's just the placement of matches.
Anyone can play with the Battle Royal. It's a bit backwards. Surely the first person who goes out is the lowest ranked seed, so he should go against the last person out.
I know, but that's probably too complicated, isn't it, really? You got to remember the 15th elimination and the...
They have to remember what order to go out anyway. Do you know what matches they want? You can just book backwards, don't you?
Just book backwards
if you know what matches you want.
There was a couple of smart things in the battle order. The Jordan Devlin Travis Banks feud carrying on, that was really good. I'm impressed that they've been able to carry that on for shows. I love the 205 live instead of Adam Cole, baby. That was quite funny. I'm not really a huge fan of battle royals. It's always fun when it gets down to like the final four, and that's when it got a little, it was good kind of thing. And then Jordan Devlin taking the win, a bit of a shocker considering what I said earlier, but this is when a 15 man instead of a 16 man works, because there is the real reward for winning in the Battle Royal, which was to get a bye into the quarterfinals. So I think that all worked in honesty. I was really a fan of the Battle Royal and the eliminations leading to the matches. I thought that was really good.
So shall I go through? I'll just go through the first round results. So it was Drew Gulak defeated Mark Andrews. Donald McDyjack defeated TJP. Keith Lee defeated Travis Banks. Humberto Carrillo defeated Zach Gibson. Velveteen Dream went over Tony Nese. Adam Cole beat Shane Thorne. Tyler Bates defeated Cedric Alexander. I was surprised this wasn't a semi-final match, but it was a great match.
All the quarterfinals. First round.
That's all the first round. It's kind of a low-key dream match, that Bate versus Alexander.
He's Cedric Alexander versus Tyler Bate.
Yeah. It's something I'd like to... I think they could kick it up to a takeover level Bernardo action. brilliant match.
I think in this situation, this was another thing that I thought kind of worked as well. The match timings. Now, we usually why don't you give that match more time and stuff? But because obviously in a tournament and the rest has got to carry, any kind of injuries or
they're going to be worn out. 6 to 10 minutes, most of the matches, weren't they? So.
Yeah, exactly. I thought they worked quite well, to be honest, the match timings. Just a quick first round thoughts. Really impressed with Carrillo. He had a fantastic match against Johnny Gargano on NXT. And he's come out of nowhere, and his finisher is superb.
Yeah,
that's something I've never seen before. Handstand into a springboard moonsault, I think, if I remember correctly, is superb. I was surprised about the reaction to TJP, because last time I saw him on 205 Live, he was a villain. So I'd be glad if that did change for him, though, because I think that would push him back towards the Cruiserweight title, and he's one of my favourites to watch, honestly.
I still haven't watched 205 Live for months. I just can't find the time to watch it.
It's very difficult because, you've got so much to watch. We're so... what's the word? I can't even think. Like I said, there's so much to watch. Impact Wrestling, 205 Live, NXT, NXT UK, WOSW, a short while ago. The pay-per-views, all the takeovers.
Preston City and Rev Pro are now on as well. So.
Well, exactly. Impact Wrestling's pay-per-views, you've got Power Slam TV with obviously the Broken Free Code that you said about. So much wrestling were just sport for choice, really. But for 205 Live, I don't think I've watched it since Mustafa Ali joined SmackDown Live. And that's no reflection on 205 Live. It's just there's just not enough hours in a day to watch wrestling.
No.
Because of everything I've just said. So
I don't think I've watched 205 Live since NXT UK started. I just haven't got the time to watch both.
I haven't been able to watch NXT UK since it started, really. I watched the first two episodes, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to do the same thing that I do with Impact, and that's watch it when it comes to a takeover. It would be Impact Day, a pay-per-view, because, like I said, there's just too much. Impressed with him. Impressed with Dijakovic as well. Tyler Bate versus Cedric Alexander was probably the match of the round.
Yeah, definitely.
Really like Shane Thorne against Adam Cole as well.
I'm really looking forward to David Stojanovic being in the tournament. I thought it could have been interesting to see how far he went. So that's quite pretty disappointed that he got replaced by Shane Thorne.
Oh yeah, I remember that actually. What did he get replaced?
He got called up, hasn't he?
Oh, okay, yeah. But I've said off air, or possibly on air, about the feud between Miller and Thorne, and then Shane Thorne being one of the standout stars.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't got because Miller's left, but I saw enough of Shane Thorne in this Adam Cole match to say that he could be one of the breakout stars in 2019. And Keith Lee versus Travis Banks was quite fun as well. As in, Banks was throwing everything at him. Keith Lee's just 325-pound man, and he just took it and won the match. And this is where that battle royal comes into effect. It hadn't taken place. You saw this on YouTube. And obviously, Banks is carrying an injury because of what Devlin did to him in the Battle Royal that you haven't seen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So, Velveteen Dream was wearing tape around his ribs, which you didn't know about. If you watch Neck Special First, you don't know why he's got tape around his ribs. So he got injured. I can't remember if it was in the Battle Royal he got injured, or was it the first round match he got injured? But...
Is it Velveteen against... Who did Velveteen take on again, Chris? Sorry.
Tony Nese.
Tony Nese. No, I don't think the injury happened, and I think it happened in the quarterfinal.
Maybe, yeah.
Jordan
Devlin.
So, the first round matches are all good.
Yeah.
They're within like a 10-minute time limit. Cedric Alexander against Tyler Bates, probably the pick of the round. But it's worth watching if you're a fan of Shane Thorne. Donovan Dijakovic, Humberto Carrillo. There was. It felt like a really good start to the tournament to go along with the Battle Royal.
Yeah. So the quarterfinal results were: John Devlin defeated Drew Gulak, Velveteen Dream defeated Humberto Carrillo. I will get that name right properly.
It doesn't
roll off my tongue properly. Yeah, I have to think about it.
When he's Cruiserweight champion.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Tyler Bate defeated Dominic Dijak. And then Adam Cole defeated Keith Lee. I was really looking forward to that match, but I thought it was technically okay, but it was a pretty dull match for me. I was really looking forward to Keith Lee versus Adam Cole. But, it was alright, but I thought they could have done better.
Tyler Bate versus Donovan Dijakovic again. That's the match of the round. Dijakovic's performance was superb. The Fosbury flip over the top rope for a 6'8" man was astounding.
Yeah.
You saw enough about him that when there's an opportunity to turn him into a hero down the line, and Tyler Bate picking him up for the Tyler Driver 97, that's just amazing, in all honesty. Yeah, Tyler Bate is, was slowly but surely having the the performances of the tournament so far, really, much like you. I don't know if I was disappointed with Adam Cole versus Keith Lee.
I just thought it was a bit dull. I just expected more from it, I think.
I just didn't think it meshed that well, really. It's difficult, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? And yeah, I'd say, much like I said for the first round, impressed with Carrillo and Dijakovic, which is what I said off air and stuff. And yeah, that was all fine. And like I said, it was just the way the matches have been placed on YouTube and WB Network that's really annoyed me up until this point. The match quality is good or better. You've had your first, well, you had a really good match with Bate against Cedric Alexander in the first round. You've had a really good match, possibly, you know, even better than that, by Dijakovic against Tyler Bate in the quarterfinals. So, yeah, it's going well so far.
Yeah, so the first semi-final, Tyler Bate defeated Adam Cole. I thought these two had great chemistry. I thought everything looked really crisp and flowed really well. And it was a great win from Tyler Bate. I'm kind of thinking, maybe, has Adam Cole taken too many pins recently? And it's got me thinking he might be getting called up soon because he's losing a lot.
Once again, this is a fantastic match.
Mm.
I see what you mean there, but because of the, you know, because of his mouth and how he built up the group and stuff, the Undisputed Era, I don't think he's taking much by losing to people who are on the same level or better.
Mm.
You know, honestly, you know, you beat Keith Lee, which is huge.
Yeah.
Considering the weight difference between the two men, he lost to Tyler Bate, which, you know, the NXT. Yeah, the NXT tag titles changed hands in the summer between the two groups. So, you know, that's not a huge thing either. I think he can take a loss and rebound from it, really, because he's fantastic on the microphone and his in-ring skills are top quality. So it's, you know, everyone's got to take a loss sometime, aren't they? So I think he's in a position where it doesn't affect him that much.
Yeah, second semi-final, Velveteen Dream defeated Jordan Devlin. That was another great match. Which I think Jordan Devlin's one of the most underrated people at WWE at the moment. He never seems to come up with any talks about going for the UK title or anything.
I think it's just because of the Finn Balor situation, really, being his trainer.
Mm.
Everyone thinks, you know, people think he's Finn Balor light.
Yeah.
And that's unfair to an extent. You can see certain things, but really impressed in this tournament, to be honest. Obviously, he's gone through 14 other men for the Battle Royal. He then had a pretty good match against Drew Gulak.
Yeah.
In the quarterfinals. I was really impressed with that, to be honest.
The crowd was really behind that, considering it was a heel versus heel match. The crowd got quite behind that match, I thought. So they seemed to really enjoy it.
Well, exactly. And then, obviously, with the Velveteen Dream, the way he went after the ribs, really smart wrestling. And he went up, in my estimation, in this tournament. I think he did really well for himself, along with Dijakovic and Carrillo.
Okay, and then the number one contender final match, Velveteen Dream won against Tyler Bate. Dream won with the Purple Rainmaker in 16 minutes. I thought it was
absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
It, you know, if you, you know, if the people listening have any qualms with the tournament at all, you got good matches, a couple of really good matches, and this is the one. If you just have to watch one match in the tournament, watch the Velveteen Dream versus Tyler Bate. It's an absolutely superb way to finish the tournament. And this is why this tournament is a really good idea. Because if you're trying to get somebody to a championship opportunity, then you put them in a tournament where they've got to go through a lot of other people and they get a lot of credit by doing that. And then they're ready for the title opportunity. Brilliant.
yeah, I hope it becomes an annual thing, because I really enjoyed this. So,
yeah, just change the placement. Don't ever do what they've done on YouTube and the network again in terms of how the matches were out of sync.
Yeah, if I wouldn't have it in two sections. I'd compress it down to a three-hour special. There was probably at least three.
Everyone's been talking about like a King of the Ring, haven't they?
Yeah.
So this could be that. Basically, you've said you could have it as a three-hour special. You just take, instead of 15, take 8, maybe. 8, 4, 2, 1.
Yeah.
And then you've got a three-hour special, haven't you?
Yeah, I think there was probably at least three incredible matches on it. No, none of the matches were terrible. Some were a bit dull.
No.
I'd recommend, if anyone doesn't want to watch the whole thing, watch the Cole Bates, Devlin, and Andre matches. They're all brilliant. And Corellios, they're all really good.
Yeah, for me, I'd say watch all of Tyler Bates' matches. Carrillo and Dijakovic and Devlin's performances were pretty good. And if you've only got a short amount of time, just watch the final and understand that you've probably seen one of the sleeper matches of the year.
Yeah, I think it must be close to being in our match of the year at the end of the year. So, yeah, can't have all Johnny Gargano matches.
Johnny Takeover.
Yeah, we also... Johnny Halftime Show, whatever it was. Johnny Super Bowl. So do you want to discuss that match quickly now? Before we move on to the awards.
Yeah. This is an unbelievable match. When Shawn Michaels said they'd light up the place, he wasn't lying. Just balls to the wall action the whole time.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. And then if we're talking about sleeper matches of the year again, this is going to be up there. So that's the highest praise I can give it, really.
I think it had a very PWG feel to it. Rather than
I'm really surprised they haven't done anything with the Performance Center before, because I thought it was absolutely amazing setting for this match.
Yes.
Like, I would have it over Full Sail kind of setting.
Mm.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I'd recommend. I hope that again they do this every year. They just do a standout NXT match.
And when you think about it as well, I mean, only Larkin was in the crowd. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see him. No.
Yeah, only Larkin was in the crowd. Well, you think about it this way. Obviously, the wrestlers go to the Performance Center, and this could be one of those occasions where have a meet and greet, and then do what they do when they open up the Performance Center.
Yeah.
To go along with this match. You know, I think it would be a really cool thing, bringing the fans closer to the NXT superstars. But absolutely amazing venue for this match. And Shawn Michaels and Vic Joseph on commentary were really good as well. And just quickly going back to Worlds Collide, I thought that they would have gone with a three-man team. So somebody from 205 Live, somebody from NXT, and somebody from NXT UK.
Yeah.
But in the end, that didn't really matter. And I think, just quickly for the final, fantastic match, don't get me wrong, but maybe they should have done a triple threat final with the three promotions, and then the winner from there. But obviously that would mess up different things, but that's just what I was thinking while watching it.
Even in the future, they could have the final on the main Royal Rumble card, or have the final at the Elimination Chamber. Just have the tournament.
Well, if you look at it, the big match challenge happened on TLC card, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I mean, you know, there was a... if you go back to the CZW Best of the Best 2 that I was talking about earlier, all the matches were triple threat matches.
Yeah.
So... you know, you could go that route. But I think if you had a 205 Live and NXT and NXT UK people in match, because when you got to the semi-finals, 205 Live was eliminated, wasn't it?
Mm, definitely, yeah.
So,
That's what I said. Surprised Alexander went out the first round. I thought he was shoo-in for the semi-finals.
This is Brian Aidenson telling you to listen to Broken But Glorious Podcast.
All right, so should we move on to announce the winners of the Broken But Glorious 2018 year-end awards, as voted for by our Twitter followers? So we'll start with the British side of the awards. So the award for non-WWE British Wrestler of the Year. So this is a British wrestler who hasn't appeared on WWE programming in 2018. Nominations were Jimmy Havoc, Mark Haskins, Will Ospreay, and Zack Sabre Jr. And the winner with 46% of the votes was Will Ospreay.
Yep. Fantastic in New Japan. You know, it showed that the difference in the brand of wrestlers in world sport wrestling.
Yeah.
Because he was completely different to everyone else. He had that stormer of a match against David Boy Smith Jr. And yeah, if he's involved in a possible season two of World of Sport Wrestling, along with, say, Zack Sabre Jr., that would be fantastic for the British wrestling scene.
Yeah, definitely. So, WWE British Wrestler of the Year. So this is a British wrestler who wrestled primarily in WWE during the year. So it's Drew Gulak, Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, and Zach Gibson. And the winner, 57% of the vote, was Pete Dunne. It wasn't going to be anybody else, was it?
Nah. The Bruiserweight.
The Bruiserweight.
The Brummy. So I'm very happy for him.
Yeah, then we had British Female Wrestler of the Year. Nominations were Charlie Morgan, Ginny, Kaylee Ray, and Viper. The winner with 37% of the vote was Viper. Another well-deserved win, I think.
Yeah, a really interesting documentary on her as well. That was on BBC Two, Fight Like a Girl.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was really good, and yeah, she's a really really quality wrestler.
I was hoping that would turn into a series or like a three part or something, but it was only a one off, wasn't it? So,
yeah, it was only a one off.
Alright, so overseas British Wrestler of the Year. So this is British wrestler who wrestles mainly on the US indie scene or in Japan. So we had Marty Scurll, Nick Aldis, Will Ospreay, or Zack Sabre Jr. And the winner with 33% of the vote was Will Ospreay, so another win for him.
He's having a great year then, isn't he?
Yeah.
Once again, he's, you know, I hope someday we see Ricochet versus Ospreay in NXT or WWE.
Yeah. Definitely.
Because the match, I've only seen like gifs of it and stuff, but the athleticism between the two guys is just off the charts.
Alright, so then the last award for this section is the Male British Wrestler of the Year. So we've got Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, Will Ospreay, and Zack Sabre Jr. And the winner, with 49% of the votes, is Pete Dunne. It's another win for Pete Dunne. Congratulations.
Yeah. Like I said, he's had a fantastic year, and if you look at any of the matches he's had, not only is he at another level, but he brings his opponent up as well.
Yeah.
So that's all you can ask for as a champion. Completely against long title reigns, as you know, and obviously this one's 600 odd days now, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. But somebody's got to be ready to take over the mantle, and I can't think who is, really. So, it's getting to the Johnny Gargano Dragon Gate USA titles kind of time, because I think he went like 700 days as the champion, if I remember correctly. So, somebody needs to step up and try and take the title. But until then, we'll see the Bruiserweight as the best champion that the WWE has to offer.
Okay, and I've got one quick bit of news before we get on to the next part of the awards. So the next Superstar Shake-Up has been announced. Scott Stanford announced that'll be the first ever international Superstar Shake-Up. Will take place on April 15th and 16th in Montreal, Canada. This will be the week after WrestleMania. I think it's interesting that I called it international as part of the advertisement. So I'm guessing this means that we could see wrestlers not only moving from the UK to America, but maybe some US guys moving to NXT UK, maybe.
Yeah, that would be good, because if you're going to move, say, a Tyler Bate, a Pete Dunne, they're going to have to send somebody, you know, important from America back over here, because you're going to kill the NXT UK brand, aren't you?
Is there any non-British guys you'd particularly love to see move to NXT UK? Maybe a main roster guy?
It depends, you know, how people are used between now and then. TJP would be fantastic as a technical wrestler on the brand. And they're not really doing too much with him, as far as I was aware. I mean, he didn't even know he was in the Worlds Collide tournament. unless he was joking, I'm not sure. Drew Gulak, who you mentioned earlier.
Gulak was the one I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He was in the WWE UK tournament in the first place, wasn't he?
Yeah.
For 2018. Jack Gallagher. You know, he'd be most welcome back because of the style of wrestling that he brings to the table. Okay, so that's three. So if three go the other way and those three come over, maybe. So if Tyler Bate went, for example,
I'm guessing all of Strong Style go, I think.
Yeah, and possibly Trent Seven as well, British Strong Style. And then from the ladies' perspective, just quickly, it's difficult because they're being used correctly, aren't they, really, when you think about it. I can't think of somebody who's under the radar in WWE at the moment.
No, I think there's plenty of women around the UK scene that could come in and replace it, like a Storm or a Ripley went up. I think there's plenty of women just in the UK at the moment who could just come in and replace them.
Yeah, I don't think a Storm is going to want... Like, Tony Storm's going to want to go up there, is she? When she's picked out the UK women's title over the other title she could have gone for. So I think they'll want to keep her on this scene, to be honest. It'd be really interesting, because we don't really have definitive answers.
No.
That's what makes it interesting. We can't pick out who exactly is going to go. So that shake-up in Montreal is going to be really, really interesting. And it's fantastic that it's international, because obviously Triple H said that when call-ups are happening, it's not just going to be, you know, you're not going to have to go from NXT UK to NXT. You can go straight to the main roster, and this is proof of that.
Yeah, I'd love to see all of the Strong Style turn up on SmackDown or Raw rather than have to go through NXT, because it seems to have done that now.
Yeah, exactly. You can't kind of waste the years, waste people's years of going from brand to brand if you want to move them onto the main roster. It's a good thing to have international brands and be able to move to a Raw or SmackDown Live from that brand without having to go abroad and stuff. So I could definitely see Pete Dunne going up. I'm not sure about anyone else, but he has to go up, and he has to go up and fight for the IC title or the US title straight away.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
So we carried on with the awards then. So,
All
right, so overall female wrestler of the year nominations were Tessa Blanchard, Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, and Toni Storm. 68% of the vote, so she kind of ran away with it. Becky Lynch, no surprises there. Right. Tessa Blanchard was second of 18%, so that's quite cool.
Yeah, it's a hell of a quartet, in all honesty.
Yeah.
that's four women that have had a fantastic year. And I think, you know, I think when it comes down to it, Becky Lynch has had a fantastic summer.
Mm-hmm.
Ronda Rousey's had a fantastic April until, you know, December. Tessa Blanchard's been seriously consistent the whole year through.
Yeah.
Tony Storm has had a really good year, and obviously been fantastic in NXT UK and stuff. So the rightful winner probably should have been Tessa Blanchard, consistency wise, but obviously Becky Lynch has had an amazing summer onwards and become the Stone Cold Steve Austin of the women's division, hasn't she? So it's I completely understand why that vote's been made that way, but consistency wise, from an in-ring perspective, Tessa Blanchard's had a really, really good year.
Yeah, definitely. Non-WWE wrestler of 2018, so the nominees were Kenny Omega, Cody Rhodes, Zack Sabre Jr. and Volta. The winner with 44% of the vote was Kenny Omega. I have no complaints with this one either. So.
No.
Alright, then we have NXT or NXT UK Wrestler of the Year. Nominations were Tommaso Ciampa, Velveteen Dream, Pete Dunne or Johnny Gargano. And the winner with 39% of the vote was Tommaso Ciampa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
he's had a great year as well. Since becoming the NXT champion, he's moved up to another level. Obviously, the feud with Gargano meant he was, you know, he's having a fantastic year, but he turned it up even more so with the Aleister Black and, you know, trying to turn Gargano to the dark side kind of thing. So, yeah, completely understand that.
All right, so then we have WWE Wrestler of the Year. So the nominations were Becky Lynch, Seth Rollins, Ronda Rousey and AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner was Becky Lynch, 46% of the vote.
Yep, same thing again. Great, summer until now.
Yeah, it wasn't going to be anybody else. So.
Yeah, and obviously from a consistency-wise, Becky Lynch is... I can't think of a bad match she's ever had, really. But in terms of character, she's...
If you'd have asked me in August, I would have said Seth Rollins would have won. It was amazing.
She's improved tenfold since, turning the back on Charlotte at SummerSlam. Yeah. But Seth Rollins, like you said, in-ring consistency, he's probably had the best year of his career.
Yeah, definitely.
Are you tired of the same old pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 4,000 hours of the best pro wrestling events from over 110 of the biggest names in the industry from over 15 countries around the globe. Get your free trial today at Powerslam.tv.
Alright, so to finish the show, we thought we'd share our predictions for the WrestleMania 35 card. So last year's card was 14 matches, so the Universal and Raw women's matches are pretty much set. So plus we reckon there'll be a men's and women's battle royal, which leaves 10 matches for us to predict. So Oliver's took the SmackDown side of things, I've took the Raw and 205 Live side of things. So Oliver, what's your first match?
Gonna go with the Miz versus Shane McMahon.
Yeah, definitely. I can't see any other match them two could have. So.
Yeah.
Is it gonna be a stupid stipulation match? Is it gonna be a Kane on a rope match? Or all right, my first match.
Vince McMahon pole match.
Yeah. I'll do the Cruiserweight Championship match first. So there's a rumor that Finn Balor will be moving to 205 Live. So I've gone with that. So I'm going to go Finn Balor versus Buddy Murphy. And because Balor's such a big name, it could possibly get on the main card because Balor's will be in the match. But then I'm thinking Carrillo, hope could be in. Could make it in as well. He's been amazing from what I've seen so far.
If Austin Aries versus Neville can't make the main card, though, Chris.
It's Balor, though? It's Balor.
It's true.
Your next match? Okay, so.
Yeah, my next match. So, one down. I'm going to go for a triple threat match for the WWE Championship.
Yeah.
And that'll be Samoa Joe versus the phenomenal AJ Styles versus the new Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I think we discussed it at the end of the last show. That'll be our dream match for the SmackDown title.
And hopefully they can have, you know, a match akin to Unbreakable 2005 when Samoa Joe, AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels took on each other for the X Division title.
Which is still a classic.
Unfortunately, with WWE, that's where dream matches go to die.
So yeah, I think that if they gave it 20 minutes and it just went all out, and it's not too late in the show. I think it's not opening the show, but maybe a headline to the first half of the show, so it's about 2 hours in. So the crowd's not tired.
How many hours is the show going to go? About 8?
I'm still going with, including pre-show, I'm still going 7.
7. Oh, God.
I've heard the reason why they're doing big, long shows. Because they can't, to the investors, they can't say, we're getting this many ratings, TV ratings anymore. So they say, well, people are watching this many hours on the network. So if you make it 2 million people watch it, you can say they watched 10 million hours on the network. Right, so I wanted to get Alexa Bliss on the card, but so I was toying with teaming her with Rhea Ripley and putting her in a title match. Tag team title match.
Okay.
But then according to PW Insider, there's talk of Trish Stratus and Lita being involved in a big tag team match at WrestleMania, so I'm guessing they will be in the women's tag team match. Alright, so my champions will be the Hug and Boss Connection. Yeah, so my women's title match is going to be Banks and Bayley versus Trish Stratus and Lita. I think you can bring in nostalgia acts for these type of matches, but I would prefer it to be Bliss and possibly. I just thought Rhea Ripley, they have a big, good little and large team.
Yep.
Here's your next match.
Okay. So. SmackDown Live tag titles. Good Brothers, Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah.
Versus the Usos, versus Sanity, versus The Bar. And I've got The Bar as the tag team champions again.
Yeah. Cool.
Yep.
I've gone for a Fatal 4-Way for the tag titles as well. Alright, so
they want to get everyone on the card, don't they? That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's my thinking.
They'll have to do something with Sanity in the next couple of months to make them title worthy, though, because they haven't even been on TV. So.
And shocking.
Right, so I was thinking of going for John Cena versus Taker again in the match, having a proper match, but I feel the storyline is being laid for Cena versus Drew. McIntyre. So I'm going to go with that. So it's been teased since before the Royal Rumble. They've exchanged words and he storylined into them.
McIntyre for Cena's injury.
Yeah. So I think a win over Cena will be a great thing for Drew's career going forward. So I'll go with that.
I've got the SmackDown Live Women's title, but that's pretty much a lock, isn't it? So I'm going to leave that one. I'm going to say the match that got interfered in, Andrade versus... One second. I don't want this, but I think maybe Andrade and Randy Orton versus Rey Mysterio and Jeff Hardy. The original match I had for that was the finish for Andrade versus Rey Mysterio in a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Mm.
But I think because of trying to get as many people on the card as possible, that it could be a tag team match. But I think it'd be a waste.
Yeah, I'd throw them all in the US title match because we haven't got a big ladder match, have we? So That could be a great way to open the show, a big ladder match.
But even then, I've got... So, taking those four out of that match, I've got those two. I think I can make a ladder match without including those four men, to be honest.
All right, okay.
That's my fourth match.
My Raw tag team titled match is Rude and Gable versus, I'm hoping, Sami Zayn's when we fit. So Sami Zayn and Owens versus The Revival versus Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush.
That'd be a pretty sweet match.
Yeah, I'm guessing The Revival will win because apparently they asked for a release and they've been told give us 3 months.
I read that as well.
So I'm thinking they might just have a great win at WrestleMania.
But, Very good.
And I wanted to get Lashley on the show, so I thought him and Rush would make an excellent big man, small man team.
Yeah. And my last match is for the WB US title.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Mustafa Ali versus Shinsuke Nakamura versus Rusev, Shelton Benjamin, and versus the current WWE US champion in a ladder match.
So you're not going to have R-Truth versus Nia Jax for the US title?
No.
It's guaranteed. It's 100% confirmed.
It is guaranteed. 100%
confirmed. That's cool, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we'll have Charlotte versus Oscar as well.
Yeah, that was my other match, but that's basically almost a foregone conclusion, isn't it, really? So, because Ronda against Becky is your foregone conclusion, I've tried to go with five that aren't really set in stone right now.
Mm-hmm.
With as many people as I can get on the card as possible.
Yeah, my last match, I honestly found it hard to find somewhere to put Braun Strowman.
I think you come up with a brilliant booking for this. you got to tell the listeners about the booking. I thought it was superb, honestly.
Alright, so my plan is that at the elimination, you'll take out the people who broke his elbow. So at the elimination chamber, you'll take out Drew Galloway, Drew McIntyre, and then at Fastlane, he'll win the Intercontinental Championship from Bobby Lashley, and then he'll defend the Intercontinental Championship against Baron Corbin. I want to say in a cage match or like a street fight, just something so he can just batter Corbin. and he'll leave with the Intercontinental Championship.
That's really smart. The only thing I could say there is if they're building up Drew McIntyre for John Cena.
Yeah. That's why I want to get him out the way at Elimination Chamber, then they've still got 2 months to build him back up.
Yeah, although he got eliminated by Dolph Ziggler in the Rumble, didn't he? So
I don't want Ziggler versus...
He is taking losses, isn't he? So it's not as mind-blowing as that if he takes a loss there.
No.
That's fantastic booking.
Between us, I think we've come with a decent card, though. Pretty spot on, I think.
Yeah, I think we are. I think with your booking of Braun Strowman and stuff, the writers behind the scenes in WWE would be proud of that booking.
Yeah, I just couldn't think what else to do with him. Originally I was going to put him in the tag team match with him and Finn Balor. him and Finn Balor versus for the tag titles. But then.
I like this idea more because when it comes to like revenge and redemption and stuff, that's what the movie's been built on.
Yeah.
Somebody took out Austin, and obviously we found out in the end it was Rikishi, but it could have been Triple H, it could have been The Rock,
et cetera.
So we know who took out Strowman, and then he gets his revenge on all three of them.
Yeah.
Whilst winning the Intercontinental title, because for some reason they want to keep him away from the Universal title when he much like Samoa Joe, should have won the main big title of the brand they were on ages ago.
He should have won it at Crown Jewel. Make no sense.
Well, and Samoa Joe should have won the Universal title back at Great Balls of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have easily done that, and Brock Lesnar still could have been the champion in between.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know what I mean? That's what I mean with like the Bruiserweights title reign. If somebody comes along and they're as good or better, mm-hmm. then he needs to lose the title.
Yeah.
And that's how any good title reign comes to an end. You lose it to somebody who's as good or better than you. And that's how you build the prestige of the title.
Right, so I've got one quick one before we go. So Dolph Ziggler spoke on the Busted Open radio about the fact that he would actually love the chance to make a new stable with a team of misfits, as he calls them, with Zack Ryder, Kurt Hawkins and Mike Kanellis. What are your thoughts on that team of misfits as a faction in the WWE?
Well, they're all talented. Yeah. They're not given the opportunity to show it. It's like the Social Outcast back in 2015-16. They had a real opportunity to be somebody, and they just cut the legs off it.
They're quite funny on social media. Them lot. They were trying to get doing something really fun. I think they could start like a YouTube series between the four of them, and I think it could take off, and then hopefully they don't do a Zack Ryder with it. And
well, yeah, if it's organic, Chris, yeah. That's the end of that.
I can't see the WWE booking this faction right, but one way they could do it, I'd like an invasion storyline in AEW when it starts. That could be fun. I asked all of Twitter followers is this team of misfits going to be the next big thing in WWE, and 57% of them said yes. So,
alright,
that's right. Surprised me.
Well, if you look at the talents involved, you know what I mean? When CM Punk was the WWE champion and Daniel Bryan was the World Heavyweight champion, Zack Ryder was the US champion.
Yeah.
And the reaction to Zack Ryder was up there with Punk and Bryan.
One time when the Rock came out, the crowd was cheering for. They were cheering, bring out Zack, or just saying Zack. They were cheering. Mm-hmm. They were
cheering for him, for him throughout the show, weren't they?
Yeah.
Until he finally come out, and then they went crazy for him. So, but it's just so frustrating because obviously we're watching on from fans' perspective and stuff, and you can just see a Rusev Day. Just give him the main title.
Mm-hmm.
It's not difficult. He's got the talent to be able to do it. He can carry it off. He's not going to be in a position where he loses steam. You should have just put him in there, and for the longest time, Rusev could be the main champion on any of the shows. And Zack Ryder had an opportunity when he was US champion, and he had the same opportunity when he won the IC title and then lost it to Miz the next day.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Just allow the organicness of the fans getting behind somebody. Like Lance Hoyt back in the day on Impact and TNA, mm-hmm. when they had Hoytomania. you know, it was Hoyt against Abyss, and the fans just went crazy for him. And then they put him in a tag team with Jimmy Rave. And it's just like, nothing against Jimmy Rave, absolutely fantastic in Ring of Honor, but just a random tag team, and they cut the legs off him.
Yeah.
And that he could win somebody because, you know, he's 250-odd pounds. He's got to be 6'2+. That's the kind of person that they get behind, isn't it? You know, a big man could be.
He's doing great work in New Japan with David Boyd Jr.
Well, exactly, and in WWE was Vance Archer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For a short while. So that's what I mean. Just allow organicness to build up your brand, because the fans are getting behind somebody for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they just need to go with it. They should have gone with Rusev Day. They should have gone with the woo-woo Zack Ryder. And obviously they should have gone with Hoyt for three different examples.
All right, so before we go, do you want to discuss your books again? And we'll
Yeah, just in terms of how you can get them, really. You can buy them from me through my different social media. So twitter.com/Brumial, instagram.com/Brumial, facebook.com/AFansPerspectiveUK. The price of the book, plus postage and packaging. You can buy them from my Big Cartel, which is afansperspective.bigcartel.com. And in both instances, I can personalise them as and such.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy them through Pro Wrestling Cartel, who has had their first year anniversary today.
Woohoo.
Local professional wrestling shop.
I like it.
That's up. Go on, Chris.
I've been there a couple of times. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, first year anniversary today, local professional wrestling shop in my home city of Birmingham, England, and they sell t-shirts, my books, wrestling DVDs,
loose figures, pounds.
Figures, all sorts of things really, and that's in the Oasis Market in the centre of Birmingham, so definitely get along there, and you'll have a great experience. And they show wrestling on the TV as well, so it's worth it for that as well. And you can pick up my books from there. You can buy them online at prowrestlingcartel.co.uk/product page, and if you scroll down, you can see it there. And lastly, Amazon. Your local Amazon, and you can buy it on paperback or Kindle.
Oh, brilliant. Also want to say congratulations to our recent guest, Brian Aidenson. He is the new RWA Next Level Championship. He won it the weekend.
Fantastic. Yeah, congratulations.
He came on the show to promote that match. So congratulations to him. That interview's done brilliantly. It's got over 800 listens, and I'm so happy. So thank you for listening to that. If you enjoy our show, you can follow us on Twitter, @BBGWPod. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. And if there's nothing else, good night.
Good night, everyone.